here's a story from The World.
Today is known as Liberation Day in the U.S. territory of Guam, the day American forces invaded the island, retaking it from Japan at the end of World War II. For the indigenous people of Guam, or Guahon in the Chamorro language, it's complicated. Dakota Camacho has roots in Guam. They're a Seattle-based dancer and musician. In this installment of our series Movements, Stories at the Crossroads of Music and Migration, Dakota talks about the quest to understand their people's history and how that search led to their own style of hip-hop.
Usually before I start anything that I do, I take a moment to activate this practice that my people have around acknowledging those that came before us, whether that's the ancestors of the land or the water that we're passing through. And it's a song of gratitude and respect. Inne ni hamzu man yainan mami. My Nana and Papa, my dad's mom and dad, were born in 1924 and 1925. So at that time, the U.S. had called Guahan its colonial possession. And in 1940, they abandoned Guahan because they heard that the Japanese military was going to invade. My Nana was on Guahan at the time, but my Papa was not. At 15, he joined the military because that was the best way that he knew to provide for his family. So my pop actually spent World War II on a ship. He was a survivor of Pearl Harbor. My Nana survived the 4 years of Japanese military occupation. And the Americans decided to come back on July 21st, 1944. But when they did, they carpet bombed the island. And the Americans reinvaded, and they named this day Liberation Day. And the complex part about it is that some people felt liberated, and some people did not feel liberated because they thought, at least we knew where we stood with the Japanese. With the Americans, we don't know. So that is the life that my papa came back to, of basically having no money and no land. They decided to leave. So that's what brought me to live on this continent here. I grew up raised by a dad who was not taught his language specifically because my family wanted him to be able to live a life unharmed by the discrimination that they faced because of the accents that they have and their way of thinking and phrasing things. And I remember being, I don't know, it must have been like the seventh grade or something, trying to ask my Nana and Papa to teach me and my Dingat, my twin sister, our language. And we knew that they wanted to, but that they didn't really know how, or they didn't know where to start, that it was too late. And so we learned basically how to cuss people out and how to talk crap about people. And that was, it was important because it taught us that although they wanted us to be able to succeed in this world, they were also aware that other people's limitations were actually what was holding us back and not our own. I sit before my altar as I wake up in the morning. Give thanks for my ancestors beside me, before me, bring attention to my breathing. I know it's time to enter the transit to the state of mind, spiritual surrender. When I was in the eighth grade, I had a history teacher named Mr. Janello, and he welcomed us to U.S. history on the first day by saying, "Welcome to U.S. history. Take a look at the back of the room. Those are your history books. Don't touch them. They're dangerous." And then he passed us out the first chapter of A People's History of the United States. And in that chapter, we read Columbus's writings about the horrible things that he did to the Arawak people. And I started thinking to myself, my family's Catholic. Are we some of the people that did these horrible things? And then I came to find out that actually the horrible things that Catholic people did to the Arawak, many of them they did to our people. And it was depressing because the things that I was reading, which were primarily written by white historians, were saying that our language and our culture were dying, and, you know, that this tradition used to be in practice, but then the Spanish stamped it out. I mean, I was a devout Catholic. I was an altar server. I was the only teenager I knew that had an altar in my room where I would pray the rosary. And I was still, like, really struggling with all these questions. And I found out that my ancestors had different sets of beliefs. And I also knew that my family couldn't teach me about it. And I also, even though I struggled with my belief in God, I really believed in spirit. I really believed in something that's greater than me. And so I started asking my ancestors for guidance of how to get to know about this world. And I learned about this form of poetry that my ancestors practice, which they called in the writing Canta Samarita. And it is a form of rhyming, improvisational, freestyled, like kind of competitive, allegorical, metaphorical wordplay. And I was like, I feel like I'm doing this with some of my friends at lunch, you know? And so I was like, well, I can't speak my language, but I can speak the language of rhyme.
Voices speaking from the altar where the rosaries are found, foreign to a young Yihadza whose soul has been around. Does the spirit care for difference, or does its essence exhibit unity? Because beauty means specific characteristics of creators.
You know, I was like, oh my God, like there's a world in which I can exist. There's a world in which I can exist. So that's what grew me into connection to hip-hop.
Everything I do, I stand on my land. Give thanks to my roots, I stand on my land. I always speak the truth, I stand on my land. Everywhere I am, I stand on my land.
One of the things that I've been trying to make sense of recently is, what is the role of a creator, of a song maker, of a singer for indigenous peoples? You know, the things that I've learned over the years is it's an oral historian. It's somebody who also can use song as a way to generate an opportunity for healing.
Very personal discovery there. That was musician and dancer Dakota Camacho. Their story was part of our series Movement, Stories at the Crossroads of Music and Migration, produced by McLeet Hadero and Ian Koss. Find a Spotify playlist with music from the artists we featured in Movement and their stories at theworld.org/movement. The World comes to you from the Nan and Bill Harris studio at GBH in Boston. I'm Marco Werman. You be safe, stay strong. We'll see you tomorrow.
From PRX.